Thanks for joining us today. We'd love to hear how God is using this ministry in your life. So we encourage you to share your story with us at info@fellowshipgj.com or by clicking the Share Your Story tab on the Church Center app. Also, if God is using this ministry to impact you, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially. You can do that by clicking on the giving link located in the description below this video, online at fellowshipgj.com, or if you are a member here at Fellowship Church, you can give through our Church Center app. This will help us continue to bring the message of Christ to our community and beyond. Again, thank you for joining us and enjoy today's service.
Kids were little, on their birthday, we would often take them to the store first thing in the morning and let them pick out a birthday balloon. And I remember one particular day, we're coming out of City Market in Fruita, and the birthday child has in one hand a bag with a sprinkled donut in, and in the other hand, the string to their happy birthday balloon. And this child is ecstatic, skipping and racing ahead, jumping with joy, arrives at the minivan before me, but I have the magical button, the mom button, right? So I click it and the door slides open and the joy-filled child has a choice. How are they going to climb into the van holding these two things? And so they think, I don't want to squish my donut, so I'm just going to take my balloon and set it right here. And they deliberately open their hands, use this hand to climb up into their car seat and get in their spot, and then they reach out to grab the balloon back from where they set it. But of course, it's long gone. Happiness destroyed. And I have learned that there's no quicker way to destroy the happiness of a human child than the loss or the popping of their balloon. Happiness is itself kind of like a balloon in that it's short-lived. Happiness is usually temporary. Happiness can change in a split second with a phone call or the latest news. But right now, these balloons are happy. They're ready to party. They're round. They're full. They're full of life. They're ready to go. But by next week, these balloons will droop. These balloons will be sagging on the ground. They'll be dropped. There'll be nothing left to them. And like balloons, happiness changes with the circumstances. Like balloons, happiness changes with the passing of time. If something doesn't happen to help the happenings be happy, then all of a sudden the happiness slowly leaks out. The new iPhone is only cool until the newer iPhone comes out. And the new job is only makes us happy until we realize the new job has actually more problems than the old job. And the new relationship makes us happy while it's shiny and new. And the vacation only makes us happy until it's done. And the nuggets can only make us happy until their season ends. And then somehow we have to try to get happy about the Bronco season coming down the road. But happiness is based on happenings. If what is happening is good and pleasant and comfortable, we tend to be happy. But if what is happening is uncomfortable or unpleasant, we tend to be unhappy. Because happiness is an emotion that is our response to a current set of circumstances. And trying to be happy all the time or chasing after happiness, well, that can be exhausting. Because happiness, based on happenings, it can't be every second of every day, because life isn't rainbows and sunshines and glitter all of the time. Jesus warned us of this in John 16 when he said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So we know that we're not always going to have happy feelings. We're not always going to be living the perfect life, but there's something bigger and broader and more fulfilling than happiness. There's joy. Joy is bigger than happiness. If happiness is a balloon, then joy is like a root. Joy is like a root that reaches deep down into the soil of our lives. Joy is like a root that draws its strength up out of something bigger than it. Joy is like a root because it comes deep from within. And no matter what's happening on the surface, joy isn't rattled. Joy can weather any storm that comes our way because joy is down beneath the surface, rooted in Christ and rooted in maturity. But a balloon, on the other hand, a balloon is blown and tossed by the wind of circumstances. Balloons can't stand the storm. They won't weather the storm. They'll pop, they'll fly away, or they'll fall flat. And happiness is like that. It's blown by the wind. It's affected by the storm. It's affected by every type of environmental change or circumstance that comes our way. But joy is a decision that we make despite what's happening all around us. Joy gives us the strength to endure the happenings when the happenings aren't happy. So this morning, we're continuing in our series, Unleashed, and today is Unleash Joy. And the idea here is we're digging into what joy truly is, and how can we unleash it into our life in a very real way, no matter what is happening all around us. So keys to unleashing joy, number one, keep seeking Jesus. Keep seeking Jesus. Jesus is the root of joy. We draw our joy up from our connection to him. When we stay rooted in Jesus, then we find ourselves rooted in joy because he is the source of our joy. And the more that we cultivate our relationship with Jesus, the more joy we end up having in our lives. The more Jesus, the more joy. Jesus is the root, and joy is the fruit. Jesus is the root, and joy is the fruit, because Jesus is the source of the, Jesus is the source, and the joy is the after product of that connection with him. Colossians chapter 2 says this, "Let your roots grow down deep in him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." So what does this mean? It means the basics, right? Quiet time with God every day, or coffee with God, as Pastor Hooper would call it. It means worship music on the way to work, investing that time singing praises to God. It means prayer throughout the day, all bunch of times here and there, constantly bringing our needs and concerns and worries before God. It means listening to Bible audio or reading the physical Bible ourselves on a daily basis. Of course, it means coming to church, but it means so much more that we're personally doing to strengthen our connection and make sure that we're rooted and hidden in Christ. A few months back, about 4 months ago, our 12-year-old son came home from 4640 youth service. And he walks in the door, and he's all excited, and he tells me, "I need to get the Bible app. I need to start reading the Bible." And I think to myself, finally, all of my good influence on him as a mother and pastor are paying off. He is excited to read the Bible. And so before I can get even too happy for myself, he launches into this whole story about how at 4640 that there was a blue team worker, one of our volunteers that works with the teenagers. And this blue team worker has, and I quote, "cool shoes." So cool shoe guy told our son that he should read the Bible. And cool shoe guy said that he reads the Bible every day on his phone on the Bible app. And so now Judah wants to read his Bible because cool shoe guy told him that reading the Bible would make a difference in his life. And so I think to myself in that moment, I'm pretty sure I taught cool shoe guy how to read the Bible myself. I probably baptized the guy who baptized cool shoe guy, but whatever, cool shoe guy can have the win because in the end we have the win because we have a 12-year-old who's reading his Bible every day for 4 months and that transforms who he is. So thanks, cool shoe guy. Joy is not a character trait that can be developed. It's not something we work on. Joy is a person named Jesus, and we root our life down into him. And the more we focus on him, the more we connect with him, the more time we spend with him, the more rooted we are in him, the truth is, That's how much more joy we will have. More so than any other book in the Bible, the book of Philippians is really all about joy. And the Apostle Paul wrote this book of the Bible in prison, in jail. And the theme of this book is joy. And I gotta be honest, if I wrote a book in prison, I don't think the theme of it would be joy. Maybe how to make a shiv. I'm not really sure. But like, joy is what the Apostle Paul wrote about in prison. And here's like a theme verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always, Paul? Like in prison? I will say it again, rejoice. So 12 times in this short book of Philippians, it says, take joy, have joy, or rejoice. Now, Paul is in the worst circumstances of his life, and he has joy, and he's challenging us to mimic or develop the same joy. Paul's not happy. Paul's not celebrating his time in prison. He has joy from another source that transcends his circumstances. So he's writing from prison. And while he's writing from prison, the pressure of prison is like squeezing him. And what's coming out of him is sweet like orange juice. So the pressures are squeezing him, and what comes out is joy. But if I'm honest, when the pressures of life squeeze me, what comes out is not always joy, right? When the pressures of life squeeze us, a lot of times what comes out is frustration or anger or indignation. When life squeezes us, Paul's saying, let it be sweet. So ask yourself, what comes out of me when the pressures of life squeeze me? This reminds me of the Apostle Paul. He wrote elsewhere in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And I saw this meme, and I'm like, yes, this is how I feel as I imitate Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. There's Christ, there's Paul, and that's more like me, right? It's so hard to measure up to this standard. The second key to joy is this. Joy is a focus. Joy is a focus. Before it's ever a feeling, focus on choosing joy. When I was a teenager, one summer I went to an orphanage outside of Tijuana, and I just served there as a missionary for the summer. And when I arrived, I was having my orientation with the administrator of the orphanage, and he's telling me about the different things I might do. And in the middle of that, there became an emergency that required a plunger, and that was my first job. Enough said, right? So I go do that job, I come back to the administrator, and my second job becomes, well, since you're already there, why don't you clean the bathrooms, like all of the bathrooms for the orphanage for all 100 children. So that was my second job. And it's now the sun is high in the sky and the day is hot, and I go back and I say, well, what's my next job? And he sends me to the laundry room, okay? There is one woman in this room with 8 washing machines and the laundry for 100 children. And that's her job day in, day out. So I help her, we wash it, we hang dry it, we fold it, and we return it to the dorm parent. That's our job. So that very first day at the end in the evening, I fall into my bed, I am exhausted. This is more work than my 16-year-old self has ever done in a summer in one day. I wake up the next morning and I'm sent to the kitchen at about 6 a.m. to help this lady to cook the breakfast. And I'm walking across the orphanage property, and the sun is just rising, and it's kind of glistening off the tin shacks that are surrounding the orphanage. And the morning is quiet, and I hear this loud, piercing sound that was supposed to be singing, and it's coming from the kitchen, and this woman is singing very, very loudly a song in Spanish. And let's just say Amanda wouldn't give her a mic or put her in the choir, okay? So I don't have much of an ear for this myself, but I can tell what the song is supposed to be. She's singing it in Spanish. I know it in English. I go into the kitchen, and she continues to sing. And I look at her, but she doesn't see me. And I see that she just has tears streaming down her face. And I watch her for a moment before she notices me, and what she has is a piece of bread that is covered in mold. And she's taking her knife, and she's scraping the mold off of this bread, putting some margarine, and putting it to the side, and picking up another piece of bread. And I think to myself, oh, I know why she's crying. She's crying because this bread has mold on it. She finally notices me, and she looks at me, and she smiles, and she says, "Estoy muy feliz. I am very happy." And then she says in broken English and Spanish that Jesus has given us bread for the children this morning. Come thank Jesus with me. And I remember standing there going, wow, there is a huge difference between circumstantial happiness and true joy. This woman had true joy. And so pretty soon there's two of us, me singing in English, really bad, her singing in Spanish, and we're singing the same worship song together because I think this woman has been there in the morning at 6 a.m. when there was no bread to give to the children. And so she had a focus on joy where I had a focus on the mold. Now, again, in Philippians 4, this time in the Amplified Version, Paul says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourselves in him." Again, I say rejoice. And I love this word, gladden yourselves. Paul says rejoice two times in this verse because choosing joy isn't always easy, but joy is about what you focus on. So this sweet elderly woman, she was focusing on the fact that she had bread to give to the children, and I was focusing on the mold, and she had joy, and I had none until I shifted my focus and said, I'm going to focus on joy instead of what I'm feeling. And we each have that challenge in our lives. Do we choose to see what's wrong with a situation or what's right? Do we tend to focus and fixate on the problem, or do we focus and fixate on God's provision? Do I focus on what I'm feeling, or do I focus on what God is doing in me and around me? So Paul, he gives this command in verse 4. He says, rejoice, rejoice. And then he goes on in verse 6. He says this, very familiar portion of scripture. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And there's the third key. The third key is this. Give God control over your circumstances. We will never have joy if we are consumed with worry. That's why Paul says, the JL paraphrase, it says, rejoice, rejoice, don't worry, pray, and thank God. That's what's in that text. That's the prescription. Rejoice, rejoice, don't worry, pray, and thank God. Because Paul knows that we will never have joy unless we go about the process of releasing what we're worried about. The releasing and the rejoicing are connected. The releasing of our worries and our fears and our concern is connected to our receiving of the joy. Here's some actual footage of me trying to carry my own burdens instead of giving control to the Lord. Right? That's kind of how it usually goes. And a couple weeks ago, Pastor Tim stood on this same platform and he said, make a list of all the things that you need to relinquish control of to the Lord. Make a list. And my question this morning is, have you? Because if we don't make that list and if we don't give control of the things that are weighing us down and worrying us, joy won't grow. Joy will never flourish because worry kills joy. So if you haven't yet, make a commitment. This afternoon, get out a piece of paper, use a phone app, and make a list of everything that's worrying you that you're trying so hard to control. And then pray through each one saying, God, I choose to give this over to you. I trust you. I'm not the boss of it anymore. You are in charge. And as we pray about the things that are worrying us, then we're asking God to get involved. And when God gets involved, then all of a sudden, peace can replace stress. Philippians 4, I already read this, verse 8, his peace will guard your minds and hearts as you live in Christ Jesus. So here's the picture that's created by this verse in the original language. The imagery is military. The idea is that when we give God our worries and we ask him to take control, then God can station some guards, sentries, if you will, in our minds and in our heart. And they will guard our heart and guard our minds, guard our thinking, and guard our emotions. And they will pace back and forth these centuries through the night, guarding us, giving us God's peace, and guarding the peace that he's giving to us by protecting our thinking, protecting our emotions, protecting our thoughts, protecting our heart. And that says the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The fourth key to joy is don't over-ask someone or something to make you happy. Don't over-ask someone or something to make you happy. It's too much pressure on your three-year-old to be responsible to be your happiness. And it's too much pressure, by the way, on your 30-year-old child as well. It's too much pressure on your marriage to demand that your spouse be the source of your happiness. No one can stand under that amount of pressure. It's over-asking. It's over-reaching. It's too much pressure on your job, your boss, your church, your hobbies, your vacation, your retirement to be the source from which you draw your joy. God has blessed us each with so many blessings, good relationships, good people in our lives, as well as material things. And he wants us to enjoy those blessings without putting the root of our joy into those blessings. What's the root of our joy? The root of our joy is where the joy comes from. It's the source where we draw the joy up from. So if we put our root into the blessing, we're trying to pull that blessing to make ourselves happy or joyful. We're gonna suck that thing dry. Trying to pull our joy through our children, trying to pull our joy through our work, trying to pull our joy for our annual vacation. Like those things, we will suck them dry trying to pull our joy through them. So the command here is enjoy the blessing, but don't force the blessing to be the source. Enjoy the blessing, but don't force the blessing to be the source. Paul writes again in Philippians chapter 4, he said, I rejoice greatly in the Lord, that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. So I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So Paul tells us, I have learned the secret of contentment. This is gold. Like, we have to lean into this. He's saying, I have learned the secret of contentment of all the things in the world. But then he goes on to tell us what it's not. It's not people and when they remember us and when they don't, or when the people help us or when the people don't, or when the people like us or when the people don't. And then he says, and it's not stuff. It's not whether you have the stuff or you don't have the stuff. That is not the secret to contentment. The secret to contentment is being rooted in Christ. And when we have Jesus, we have the strength that we need. That famous verse, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, comes after this idea that it's not the people or the stuff that strengthens us, but we have joy in the Lord. The joy in the Lord is our strength, and through the Lord, we're able to do all the things. In other words, I'm not over asking people or things to be my source of joy. Jesus is my joy. He is my root, and he produces the fruit of joy in my life. The fifth key to joy is this. It says, identify what you are grateful for and give thanks. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1, he says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. There's a connection between joy and gratitude. Paul gives thanks when he prays, and he has joy in prison. Elsewhere, in 1 Thessalonians, he writes this, always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ. So we learn that gratitude produces joy. And in preparation for this message, I read some studies, scientific studies, that address the question, how do people develop more happiness and more joy in your life? Read some from Harvard, read some from UCLA Health, and here's a quote that I thought really sums it up. This is from UCLA Health. It says, a review of 70 studies. Now, I didn't read 70 studies, I read the review of the 70 studies, to be clear. A review of 70 studies that included responses from 26,000 people found an association between higher levels of gratitude and lower levels of depression. So science is catching up to what the Bible has said all along. Gratitude produces joy. Gratitude produces joy. When I was in college, I went through this funk, and like the full weight of being a young adult was on my shoulders. The responsibility was more than I anticipated, and I remember just feeling lonely and just walking around in this funk for several weeks, just going through the motions, but no joy. And I got up and went to my classes, and then I went to my college job afterwards, which is Walgreens Pharmacy, and I'm working the cash register at the front of the store, and it's getting later, and the store is getting ready to shut down. And at this point, a man walks into the store. And mom, if you're watching from home, if you could just push the mute button. The man, I'll count 5 seconds, I'll count for you, mom. So the man comes in and he's holding a knife. And he holds me up at knife point for 2 packs of cigarettes, which I quickly give him. And then he leans over the counter with this knife way too close to my neck. And he says, "This is your lucky day." And he spins on his heel and he walks out of the store and I'm unharmed. And in this moment, I sink to the ground, and I am overwhelmed with gratitude because I realize all the days of my life that God had been protecting me. He had been watching over me. Even during this responsibility, pressure that I was feeling as a young adult, He had my back, but I just didn't notice. And gratitude came in and pushed away that funk that I had been stuck in for a long time. And so maybe as you're looking at how do I have joy, maybe the next step for you is to start a gratitude journal or to open up your phone and make a list of all the different things that you have to be thankful for. And every day, read that list and thank the Lord for those blessings. And maybe every day add something to the bottom of that list so it keeps getting longer. But the idea is that gratitude increases our joy. And every one of those 30 studies, or what was it, 70 studies that UCLA, they all said, if you just do something like this for 30 days, you will have an increase of joy. Sixth key to increase our joy is found in this. It says, refuse to compare. Comparison kills joy. And when I look at their car and their house and their health and their vacation and their clothes, then I think to myself, if I just had what they have, then I would feel happy. But the truth is, if I do that, I'm placing the work for my happiness outside of myself on somebody or something out there that's hypothetical. Rather than deciding my happiness or my joy more accurately is rooted in Christ. And I don't want to go around judging my situation according to my perception of someone else's reality. I can't do that and expect to have true joy. So here's how Jesus did it. Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So here's what Jesus did. Jesus knew He was going to go through the most horrific and excruciating event of humanity, right? The execution, the torture, the crucifixion. He knew that's what was in front of him. But he looked past that. He said, beyond that, to joy. Because joy is the guaranteed outcome. After he goes through that, he is going to sit down at the right hand of God in heaven, having redeemed all humanity, having purchased us back from the enemy and given us life in him. And so he said, you know what? I can go through this temporary circumstance and I can get to the joy on the other side if I just fix my eyes on what's set before me. Jesus wasn't doing this. What are they doing? What rocks are they throwing? Who's spitting? Who's pulling my beard? Who's yielding that whip? Jesus said, for the joy set before me. And he walked that out, walked out the weight of that heavy, heavy circumstance. And we have to make a similar decision. We have to say, you know what? Doesn't matter what they're doing, what they're saying, looking all around, because even looking all around at what they've got going on, that hurts my neck. Imagine how it would hurt my soul. And so we have to, like Jesus, we have to fix our eyes on him, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And I don't know this morning what it is that you're going through. I don't know how heavy, like Jesus was going through something heavy beyond words. But he chose to have joy in that in the end, the outcome would be redemption. And in the end, for you, the outcome will be redemption as well. Would you stand with me? If you're here this morning and you just lack some joy in your life, it's just heavy right now, I want to pray that God would impart joy to you right now this morning. God, we're sorry for the times we try to make everybody and everything else make us happy when you're with us all along and you're fighting for us through it all, and that you're the real source of the joy that we've been looking for. So we come to you and we ask that right now in this moment that you would impart real joy, not happiness that's temporal like a balloon, but true joy that's rooted in our relationship with you. And that we would find and experience this true joy, and that joy would carry us out into the world, out into our daily lives, and cause us to live different and be different and point others back to the saving knowledge of you, Jesus. God, for those who are struggling with joylessness right now, break that and replace it with a true joy from you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, church family, God bless you, and we will see you soon.
Thanks for listening to this week's message at Fellowship Church. If this was your first time experiencing Fellowship Church, or if you want to learn more about one of our many ministries, you can text Fellowship to 94000 to connect with our staff. If you're in need of prayer, we would love to support you. You can submit your prayer request by texting prayer support to 94000. Our prayer team will receive your request and immediately start covering you in prayer. As always, we are still just a phone call away. You can contact us at 970-245-PRAYER with any questions. Thanks again. We hope to see you next week in person or online.